This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Dale North, and it's going to be really fun to talk with you about your soundtrack for The Long Return. So thanks for taking some time to be
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, The Long Return, it's such a sweet story. This little orphaned lion cub is retracing and kind of remembering what it was like with his mother, who's not there anymore. And there are puzzles and enemies and honestly, it's a really emotional experience. And so I'd love to know how you got involved with the game and Max Nielsen, who created it.
Well, it's not the most exciting story as far as the initial contact, because it was literally just my web form on my webpage. So Max reached out, and it was kind of a weird time for me, because while I'm extremely happy to do the things that I do in the capacity that I do them, I was going through kind of a rough spot in terms of stress and pressure, I guess pressure more than stress. But Max reached out in the middle of that, and he expressed interest in, he said he had a little game going and he would like to know if I could do the music for it. And I, you know, of course, just knowing what little I knew about it, I said, absolutely, that would be fantastic. And then as it kind of goes, it doesn't matter how busy you are, when someone reaches out, that's basically, in my opinion, that's basically the highest honor. If someone wants your music, that's it. That's, you know, that's all I've ever wanted. So, of course. But then we talked about timing and rates, and it didn't seem like it was going to work out. But for some reason, I don't know, our initial talk or something you said, and of course details about the game, it just stuck in my head. And I ended up reaching out back to him and you know, without getting too much into it, basically saying, look, this is the first thing I've seen in a long time that just I felt drawn to. And look, I just, you know, we'll work it out later. I don't really care. I want to do it. And of course, he said that was cool. So what it ended up being was a humongous kind of musical relief for me in a time where I was just under so much pressure and stress. I didn't, you know, even though I'm making music every day, I didn't feel like I had this kind of genuine, you know, this emotional outlet, and this game was 100% that. So in a weird way, it kind of saved me at that time. You know, it really was like a pressure valve releasing for me. It was like everything I kind of wanted to channel into something that was the project I could just pour that all into. So it felt fantastic to do.
Yeah, I can tell there's this really just an amazingly joyous quality in the music, which is a nice antidote or a nice complement to what could be just a really tragic, completely downer story with this poor little orphaned lion cub. And there are moments in your music where it has this really amazing just release of joy and exuberance. And so, yeah, I can imagine that having a chance to write music like that must have just been a lot of fun.
That's cool that can be heard in it. I wasn't exactly trying to say or put across any emotion. It was literally just what can I give to this? What can I put into it? And it's really strange. I don't really do projects where I just keep my head down and try to stay in the same headspace. I love to just bounce around and do all kinds of music all day. But that this, you know, The Long Return was just, it was just one place for me that, and it was kind of like a, without sounding too dorky, it was kind of like a safe zone where I could just literally kind of musically be myself. And it was really relaxing and comforting in that sense. So every day that I get to sit down and work on it, it was just like, oh, cool, this again. And then whatever came out, you know.
Oh, that's so cool. Were you able to write it in a fairly short span of time? Because it has a really sort of consistent sound all the way through.
We did it over several months, but the writing sessions were actually really short. And again, you know, I do appreciate that you say that it sounded like it was all kind of in the same kind of place or headspace. But that was more me kind of feeling the comfort of the project and a reflection of that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the composers that I've talked with, when they have a chance to write something in their voice without a lot of, you know, requirements from the developer for the kind of sound that the developer wants, they have a little bit of a tough time with that, because it's like, well, what is my voice? What does it sound like? So what was that like for you?
That, I mean, kind of getting back to that being a release, it was the exact opposite situation for everything I was working on. At the time, I was working on about 12 games, and two of them were, I mean, they're not announced yet, but fairly high profile. And, you know, while I'm very happy to be on these projects and very excited about what's to come in the near future, it was just too much for me at the time. And I think the common theme amongst all of them was very, very specific requirements for what the music would sound like. And of course, being a media composer, that's your job. Your job is to nail that exactly. So I'm pretty comfortable in that space because I have to be. But at some point, it's like, how much of me is going in this? And you kind of, if you think about it too much, it's a little bit, it wears on you, but if you think about it a little too long. So I usually just kind of let it go, and I put as much of me as I can into the music that I write for others. You know, this is it's supposed to be, you know, no music is, but it's, you know, game media music is supposed to be pretty selfless. You know, it's you supporting someone else's work, someone else's vision, someone else's dream. But the long return, I was able to do that and 100% speak in my own voice musically. And man, that felt really good. I mean, it felt excellent. And it's, yeah, I took a walk last night just to kind of relax from a long day. And I put that soundtrack on. I typically don't want to listen to my own music when I take a walk, but I could really hear how relieved I was to write in that kind of, you know, not necessarily a style, but that kind of headspace. You just hear how relaxed and how easy it came out. And I would love to do more of that.
Well, did Max give you any kind of guidance about this type of style or the sound he was looking for? I mean, he's mentioned that the Zelda franchise is like his all-time favorite series. And so was that kind of a starting point for both of you?
You know, I think in the beginning he did say a few things that kind of led him or inspired him. But when I kind of came back to him and said, please let me do this project, he was really understanding. And what I've learned about Max so far is he tends to have a really understanding nature in general anyway. So I think I want to believe that he could kind of tell where I was at emotionally. And, you know, I consider it a gift because he really let me, like he saw through what I was saying, and he really kind of just let me do what I thought was best. And through the whole process, he didn't have a lot to say as far as kind of corrections or revisions goes. He was just really happy that I could bring something to it that he didn't necessarily consider, and he felt that a nice fit. Actually, how it started was after we initially talked, after I agreed to do it, he sent me a video clip, and I said, here, this is, I was like, the video clip really got me. And if you play the game, it's basically the opening, it was a little more elaborate in his original clip, and then it kind of goes into the first level. And I was so taken with how it looked and felt that I was just inspired. And I said, Max, please let me just kind of score this, you know, even if it isn't an actual full cutscene. Let me score it as if it were. Then let me see what you think. And then I remember that day because I didn't get up for hours. I just basically finished it. I wrote two themes and I fleshed it out as much as I could and sent it. And he was like, yes, this is how it all should sound. And I was like, okay, fantastic. this is going to go great.
Wow. Which were the first two that you wrote?
So the kind of, I call it the mother theme, and it pops up quite a bit in the game. But I wrote that and it kind of blended into the first level theme. So it was pretty somber. His initial clip had a cutscene of the mother kind of saying goodbye, or like her ghost or a vision of her kind of saying goodbye. And that really touched me. So I wanted to do something that represented her, even though she was barely there, and that you could feel kind of throughout the piece. And how we kind of structured it, that was neat because we kept that idea. And you kind of feel that strongly in the first level. It doesn't fade a bit, but other emotions take over in the second. And by the third level, that's the first level you hear the main theme of the game, which is pretty strange. But it felt really cool to kind of like have mom and her guidance and that bit of sorrow lead and then kind of change.
Each one of the areas where the little cub goes has a really distinctive look. I think it's really interesting that it starts out in such a snowy landscape, and that first cue is called The Lonely, and of course he is. and yet it doesn't have a really sad quality to it. It's just, you know, he's got to get through this. And I really love how you even incorporated kind of a little bell sound to make the music sound kind of chilly.
Yeah, that came directly out of trying to fake score that first kind of bit of footage that he sent. And in that, this is kind of a neat idea that I played with before, but in it, you know, even if these elements won't play out exactly as they've timed in the music, when you tend to kind of score elements in gameplay, then you can pull those out and incorporate those in the music and sound design, and it works. So in the initial video he sent, after I got done with it, there was kind of one of the opening scenes of snow and coming down the mountain and like everything being chilly and like just certain timings I would love to kind of highlight. And so that's when I used a lot of the bell tones and kind of softer ringing things. And of course that stuck. It perfectly fit that it was, you know, emotionally there's kind of an arc too where he's lonely, he's sad because something terrible just happened, and he's still out on an adventure, but these things are kind of around him and he's kind of feeling them. So snow is extra fitting.
Yeah, a chilliness of your inner soul too, yeah. I guess. What really struck me is the transition from him being lonely all the way through these adventures that he has. And yeah, as you mentioned, in the third zone, that's the first time where the world actually isn't quite as bleak as it has been in Greenhorn Mountain, because there's like lush greenery and trees with leaves again. And so that gives the game a kind of more hopeful feeling too. And so what was it about that area that made you think that, well, this would be a good spot for the main theme to finally appear?
I mean, admittedly, it was something I've always wanted to try, is withholding it. It doesn't always work. I love the idea of kind of having this emotion that was ringing. It doesn't necessarily fade, but it morphs a bit. So the sadness, the loneliness kind of, it carries through to level two, where level two feels playful, but it's also still cold a bit. And so I used motifs and other sound elements that tie into the first, but also could lead into something a little bit more adventuresome. So the third level was like a release. And of course, that was planned. That's just good design by Max. But as a music maker, you know, what a privilege to kind of have this emotional range where you can kind of draw one thing into another and then change it, you know, kind of right on a dime there. I like the idea of it being a little bit of a break, because it does get a little bit heavier later. Not so heavy that it weighs on you, but as a release, it was nice. And then, of course, you have to have a main theme. Withholding it is strange. One of my peers, he sent me some really nice notes after the soundtrack came out, and they were all very, very kind. But the one thing he said, he's an audio director at a pretty big game company, and he said that As for the structure, Dale, I do have some, some feedback. And yes, I was like, yes, I'm fully aware. It's pretty strange. But I think from a playing, kind of gameplay first approach, I think it was kind of neat. And then hopefully if you beat it, it all ties up in the end musically. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. The ending is really emotional. We won't give out any spoilers, but wow. what were some of your influences to get this sound?
Given that kind of going back to that kind of pressure of the projects I was on, and the other common theme was so many. It was like an avalanche of guidances and references and I love the idea of approaching something without those. So my idea for the sound was very, I guess, in that sense, naked. It was very kind of open to whatever it could be. And I thought, given the emotional range, I thought the expression of just like really small kind of sweeping chamber sound that was woodwind focused was what I liked. But I didn't necessarily pick influences because I was kind of a little worn on on that process at the time, you know. Normally that's a really, really good thing that's encouraged, you know, especially early on in the music making process. Like, please let me know what this sounds like, what inspires you. And, you know, I and anyone else would take that as guidance. But this was really the opposite. I didn't want to think too much about any other kind of reference or style or, you know, or work, and just kind of do me a bit.
Wow. There's a really wonderful cue for Sun Hill Valley. It's The Explorer. And the first thing that struck me when I heard it was it sounded like a lost Koji Kondo track from like Zelda. And it's filled with all of these wonderful sounds that just seem a little bit like classic Nintendo. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that was kind of what I took away from it.
That's nice to hear. If, you know, there's no default state for our musical minds, but I think that mine left to its own devices kind of is in this space of where animation meets classic gaming. So it is a little Zelda. It's Joe Hisaishi's every work of his, and it's a little bit of, you know, modern animation and a little bit of Final Fantasy, and so it's just like kind of nice, super melodic, emotional space that, at least for myself, is a delight to play in. Zelda is certainly, certainly in that mix. That, you know, huge Koji Kondo, everything is a huge inspiration for me. So, yeah, that's not necessarily intentional, but like totally makes sense that it comes out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the game itself is a little bit of a throwback in that there's music the whole time. And, you know, a lot of games now only use it very discreetly and very, you know, at just key moments and stuff. But your music is a constant companion, which is great because there's no dialogue and the Lion Cub doesn't talk to NPCs or anything like that. So your music provides, you know, kind of the emotional heavy lifting for the game. And so knowing that people were going to be hearing so much of your music as they were playing the game, how did that inform, you know, the choices that you made for melodies or the stems or layering so that it wouldn't get like super repetitive?
Max and I went back and forth on it. Of course, with no dialogue, you want the melody to say as much as it can. The problem with that is that you don't want to beat the listener player over the head with it. So he and I went back and forth with having that music playing the whole time or just kind of fading in and out. And I mean, really right before this game shipped, it was still in that state where most of the levels would have the music come in and out. The problem with having the music, going on longer is it creates a lot more work. Not only by design of music, but like the length of the music has to be longer. The loop has to kind of take your ear in a few places and it can't stay static. So as a project I didn't necessarily have time for, but wanted to do anyway, that a little bit of self-sabotage there. And like easily the most time that I put in a project in the last couple of years, even up against bigger, higher budget projects per song this game took, because I really wanted to make sure that you could listen to these songs for a long time. And then there was a few different phases of the song that it said a few different things emotionally, but also came back nicely in a loop. So it was a lot of work. I was so worried towards the end that he would just change his mind back. And of course, the creator of the game, their word is absolute, and I wasn't going to fight with him on it. But I do remember saying, "Hey, I designed this music to be looped and to be played end on end." From an emotional standpoint as well as a musical one. So that'd be great if we could keep it. And I guess he did. So it worked out nice, but yeah, it was a lot of consideration. I basically, without going too far into something that I think would be boring, I put two or three emotions that were trying to be conveyed on the stage on paper. And then I kind of laid them out in a kind of like a line and decided how it would get from one emotion to the next, and then back to the beginning musically. And I sketched out each of those in, you know, 8 or 16 bar phrases, and then basically reworked them until they made sense musically. And then what I did in a bigger picture is take every piece and make sure that it felt continuous and they all related to each other. So there's a ton of kind of calling back on motifs and bringing themes in and changing them a bit. And I don't know if it's stuff that people notice, but if it's felt at all, I think it was totally worth the effort.
Yeah. Well, the one track that I really picked up on that is in the final level. The track is called The Worried in the soundtrack. And this cub has been, you know, gradually, you know, mastering his environment, and he's been helping him solve all these puzzles, and his mom is there, and there's a real shift in tone when he goes into this last level, the Misty River. It's not abrupt exactly, but it certainly gets your attention, and the piano in it right at the very beginning is absolutely beautiful. And then but again it has that transition, so it doesn't stay tragic. So great job.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was definitely the intention there. What's funny about that stage is we talked about it having no music, which I actually like the idea of it just being wind and quiet. So maybe you could decide for yourself where he was at emotionally, because it was a lot of places. He was stronger and bigger. He'd learned a lot. He's still dealing with the loss, but now it's more of a determination. But like this is kind of the climax, you know, without spoiling it too much. So you know, how do you say that musically? It might have been better to leave it out. And somewhere along the process in development, I said, what if we have musical phrases that just kind of come in and out, like flow in and out, and not necessarily always there, not a constant. And we like the idea, but what happened when I was writing those kind of ideas out, as I recorded them, I was like, this is a piece. If you could put it all together and make it flow like the ideas we have, this could be a piece. So that's kind of how it ended up like that. Multiple themes from the game are in that piece in one form or another, and they represent all of those emotions that's in, you know, the grown cub's head at that time, and including the mom, the original mom theme I wrote for the original video clip, which, you know, unfortunately that was cut, so it's everywhere in the game, but it isn't necessarily its own piece. It's in the ending, it's in that, it's at the tail end of that song. For that stage. And so I thought it'd be kind of cool to, because she's always there. It, you know, even though it's kind of somber musically, I tried to fit it into as much as I could.
Yeah. And it matches the way you see her. I mean, the way you guide the little cub is with this little point of light that is always with him. And so it fits that gameplay mechanic really well too.
So. That little point of light is the initial thing that really touched me. And kind of inspired a lot of, like, the musical direction. Just that alone. That was the first clip he sent me. Initially, it was that the cub, you were seeing right after the terrible thing that happened to her. And he's just kind of alone looking around. And there she is on a cliff, like the ghost of her. And she turns into that kind of point of light. And that is represented in the current game, but it's a little bit more detailed. And I was like, wow, that's great. I mean, that's a really nice thing to kind of play with musically.
Yeah. What was it like? I mean, you mentioned that you've been working on music for much bigger studios and much bigger games. But what was it like to work for a studio of one person?
It was the ultimate relief. I, you know, that before this talk that we're having now, I'm struggling to write the third revision over the last 9 months of a single song that's never been approved because the approvals process is so big. It's like, hey, maybe the person over me really likes this and the person over them kind of likes it. But the person over them is concerned that it doesn't necessarily meet the needs of the stage. And then the people over them, you know, that are quite a bit removed from the artistic process, but are definitely attached to the approvals process, may have a completely different feeling on it. So, you know, the music continually comes back and comes back. And so just working for one person, it's like I can dial in exactly to what I sense moves him. And the back and forth is such a, you know, it's such a direct thing that I can take basically anything that I feel or is said or is conveyed directly back to my music. So yeah, I know it can't be this way every time, but it feels like when you're talking with one person and that one person is a creator, there's such a good chance that, you know, even if the music doesn't resonate with everyone else, that you can have that music resonate with a creator. And ultimately, that's our goal. So yeah, it was just nice. It was just wonderful. I hope that he and I can make a game again. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'd play it. did you play all of the instruments yourself? And I'm kind of wondering how much was live and how much was samples?
It was all samples. And
wow.
The torturous thing about this, you know, going back to kind of creating work for myself, was I had this idea for the sound being like an intimate kind of chamber. And, you know, in that sense, woodwind players are basically the only woodwind player for each instrument. And you'll have a few, you know, everything's naked. You can't rely on that big sound where everything's padded by other sounds. And, you know, given all the time in the world, I would have massaged those individual performances over and over and over until they sounded as real as possible. But I don't think that was the goal as much as it was to kind of convey these emotions. So with that mindset, every instrument that, you know, virtual wise in the game, I hand performed line by line, using a wind controller or a keyboard, and then just layered those. I wanted to make sure that everything sounded like a performance and not necessarily a recording or a sequence. So it's interesting. Another one of my peers that I really respect, they pointed out that it's messy, and I think it is a bit messy, performance wise. I'm not a performer. You know, I'm a composer. We're two different beasts, I think. And then I kind of liked how that emotionally played out, you know, layering all these performances. You're not necessarily sure until they're done, and you don't want to over massage them. But I do play actual clarinet. I do play a lot of the wind and brass instruments, but I didn't necessarily have the means or the budget to record those. So the virtual versions were it. And it kind of, we tried it with the first stage and it gave a kind of sound that we liked. And so I stuck with it, but it did create a lot of work, track by track, kind of layering the stuff.
Well, what happens though, is that it sounds like real people are playing it. I mean, you don't want it to be so perfect that it sounds kind of, you know, not real and soulless. And so so it definitely it sounds alive, even though it's samples.
Well, that's really nice to hear. I know the performances are messy for sure, because I was a performer. That was my hope, is that kind of more of the emotion would come across than the performance itself. And then it did feel like something that was breathing, because, you know, the Max worked so hard on creating this world that seemed like it was breathing and changing all the time. So I wanted it to kind of do my part in that sense.
Yeah, well, because it is changing all the time. Because every time the little cub solves a puzzle, he gets or she gets a little path that opens up a new area and stuff. So the world itself is really dynamic and changing all the time too.
Yeah, that was such a nice way to see how the music fit with past kind of opening up, even if it was just the same music playing and basically the same stage, you know, that you felt like you got a little bit more every time. And so that was more happy coincidence. But, you know, and in playing and in watching other people play, you definitely get the sense that it's like you're exploring, you know, and you're kind of getting rewarded for your exploration.
Yeah. Well, besides being able to really write in your own voice, what were some of the other things about writing this music that were just like really satisfying?
One of the biggest ones was that, you know, Max just had this ridiculous, like, I don't want to say overenthusiastic because he's not, you know, that's me. He's more kind of subdued and quiet, but like anytime I would send in a piece, it was just purely like on every level appreciated. And man, that like, when you get right down to what drives us as music people, that's it. You know, that it's like making someone else feel something and react. And if you don't kind of have that feedback loop, and you really don't a lot of times in games until way, way later in the process. With working with Max, it was direct and it felt fantastic to just like, it would take me a long time in these pieces. So he'd be like, Dale, we're, you know, how are we looking on this stage and in this milestone? I'm like, please trust me that I'm literally just playing a million flute parts over and over and over until it sounds right. And I will, I will give it to you as soon as it's done and hopefully you'll like it. And every time he was just like, oh man, this is great. And he's like, I can't believe this is what my game sounds like, is what he would say a lot of times, which would just make my day, week and month, you know? So
yeah, I bet.
It was a really great energy where we would just kind of feed off each other. And then towards the end, it really felt collaborative. You know, we really talked about how things would look and feel. And, you know, I can't say how much of my work kind of guided what he would do, but I certainly know that a lot of stuff he was trying to do and say really guided my work. So when it came to the ending, that was fully collaborative, and wow, that was a lot of fun. And I don't know that I've ever spent that much time trying to make musical elements digital, you know, kind of artificial sample musical elements line up and feel like they breathed and connected to everything that was happening. And we really, really, we went back and forth over and over and over to get that kind of short ending to feel the way it did.
The ending is really powerful, and I'll just say, if you haven't played the Long Return yet, you really, really should, because the emotional payoff is just really incredible. And is this the way you usually work, you know, playing everything yourself, or do you sometimes just hand it off to other musicians who can take care of it?
With a game I'm working on now, who I can't say too much, but the kind of people running the show are definitely into working on really big projects where that's the norm. They got on to me early in the process, like, Dale, you don't have to do this all yourself. But I mean, that when you're talking about your music and the ideas that you have for it and how it'll be conveyed, who better to do it than yourself? It's not like I feel like I have to do it all myself. And I know that anyone would probably do a better job of it. And I certainly respect the abilities, performance, conveyance, recording wise of my peers. And, you know, I would love to record something huge and wonderful one day. But when it comes to something like this that just felt really small and personal, I definitely wanted to do everything myself. And then I find, even when it doesn't have to be that way, I still kind of want to. Not in a selfish way, but really just in a, like, you know, my dad always said, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. I don't necessarily believe that's the case, but it's a little bit easier to just, like, know what you're trying to do and say, and then just do it. And it that's at odds with me being a horrible keyboardist, performer, wind player. I'm just really bad. I have very poor reflexes. So it's a lot of takes to do these. And, you know, I guess that's my apology for this being, in all my work, being a little bit messy, but I think that's probably part of my sound as well.
Yeah, well, clearly, I mean, you're doing something right when Max reached out to you, which was just so awesome. And so we really had a deep dive here. But is there anything else that you'd like people to know about the music or your process or what's special about the soundtrack?
What's interesting about this game is that I could say a million things about what went into it. And we've certainly covered a lot of what went into it. But like the guiding force behind it all was just that it was so nice to just kind of be in this place emotionally for myself. When I finally got to play the finished game and finally got to talk to Max a little bit more about his motivations, that was where he was at as well. You know, he's a game creator, but like he just wanted to do something for himself. That's what this project was. Selfishly, I agreed to the project because I needed to do something for myself. So it just, like, talk about a perfect lineup. So
yeah.
I hope when people play this game, they feel like that kind of, it just puts you in a place. And it's been really nice to see like the streams and reviews and feedback from people, because if nothing else, people get that, you know, that like it's calming. It takes you through some emotions, and it really says what both of us were trying to say, which I don't know that I've ever felt that directly connected to a video game that I've worked on ever. So wow. It's like a rare privilege. I don't know if this chance will ever happen again. I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping it will. And I'm really hoping Max will want to do something again. He says he does. But yeah, like yeah. It's, I don't know, without getting into it too much, it's like, not, you know, games are so big and so polished. And even now indie games these days have these bigger budgets, bigger goals. They're thinking about marketing early on, building teams, you know, and all the stuff you're supposed to do as a business. But with this game, it was literally just a guy wanting to make something neat and special that connected with people. And so it's kind of a rare gem in that sense. And I feel just really lucky to have helped in any way.
Yeah, well, the feeling of it just it that really comes across, because it's definitely a game and an experience that has a soul and a lot of heart. And, you know, a big part of that is your music. So just the experience was just really incredible.
That's nice to hear.
Well, it's been so much fun talking with you about it. And I mean, this music it's going to be on my, you know, sort of heavy rotation for a while. So Dale, thank you so much for taking some time to talk about
it. No, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.